Hello, and welcome to the Indie Dev Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Voiles. Founded in 2011 and based out of Wilmington, Delaware, Wimbus Studios is a culmination of a few friends wanting to get together and make video games. Fueled by the passion to make awesome games that they would love to play themselves, Wimbus Studios is dedicated to making games that don't suck. Their first title, The Island of Eternal Struggle, is a turn-based RPG adventure. Joining me today is Steve Sefcik and Mike Williams. Becky Mount is also part of the team, but not able to make it this evening. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
No problem. Thanks for having
us.
No, a pleasure to finally have you back on the show. As you saw before, I was doing this podcast for several months, then I went on a summer hiatus, and you're one of the first studios to come back on board.
Awesome. Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah. Generally, we do it with just one person at a time, but you had a few people in your studio, so I thought it was a great opportunity to get as many of you together as you possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so where are you based out of at the moment?
So we're all in the general Philadelphia area.
Philly.
I'm in Delaware, and Mike and Becky are based out of Jersey.
Yeah, Jersey. Okay. Or right over the bridge.
Yep.
All right, so Ben Franklin, I'm assuming. Or is that
or Walt Whitman, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I'm in Philly too, so not too far. That's cool. It's great to find local developers because as I was starting to pull more and more developers to come on the show, I found that nearly all of them were either in Seattle or the UK for some reason.
Yes, there's a lot in the UK.
Yeah, well, I had a lot of business calls today, and all developers in the UK. They're such a small area, but they just crank out developers for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, but yeah.
Yeah, there's not really many of us on the East Coast, and the ones that are usually on, like, New York. Or...
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, Philadelphia has a small scene that's growing.
Yeah, definitely.
Largely fueled by the folks at Cypher Prime. They, you know, obviously host the Game Forge out of their studio on Thursday evenings. So if you haven't been down there and you're in Philadelphia and you want to make games, excellent place to go hang out for a bit. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your studio? So Wimbus, where'd the name come from?
So at the time when we came up with the name, we actually had four members.
Okay.
And it was the first initial of all of our last names, and we kind of mashed it together to make Wimbus.
Ah, okay. That makes sense then.
Yeah, so we kind of kept it, even though we're down to three, and we just kind of rolled with it.
But it still works out.
Yeah.
It's all our initials.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, in the end, it's everything. So Wimbus Studios. Yeah, I mean, I know I would have a hard time coming up with a studio, and that's why anything I did for XNA, it was just Dave Voiles. I try to keep it simple, but I like what you have here. So is this your first title you've been working on?
It is.
Okay. Had you done anything like independently before this, before you guys had all teamed up and gotten together?
So as a team, this is our first game we put together. Before this, I was actually involved with the XNA community, and I made a couple titles, but nothing that really got anywhere. But this one, I feel good about this one.
Confidence. And how about you, Mike?
I've been mostly a musician and a composer, but I've always wanted to get into games, so it was a great mix.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, like, what's the tool of choice when putting this together for you, at least on the music side?
Definitely Logic Pro. A lot of my stuff I play by hand, like guitar, bass, drums, piano. There's a whole bunch of different instruments.
Nice.
And then some of the chip sounds, the Prologue chip sounds is really good.
Yep. They just had a cool chiptune show in Philly about 6 weeks ago. Bitfest? Was it Bitfest?
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
It was awesome.
Oh, nice.
Vert, the guy who does soundtracks for, I don't know, just about anything that sounds like VRC6.
Yeah, awesome.
He was playing there. Some other guy had a Sega CD and did like all these weird visualizations with it.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, and like it was cool because they were playing like remixes of Sega CD like BIOS loading songs. And then even more nerdy, they had like, you know, the BIOS in the background, the loading screen kind of playing and spinning around. So I saw this, I'm like, man, this is awesome. I grabbed the guy afterwards and I said, how did you do this? And he goes, oh, I just programmed that on the Sega CD. I said, holy cow, how do you know how to do this? And he goes, oh, I'm an engineer at Lockheed Martin. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, that would explain how you know how to program for a Sega CD.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but the chiptune scene is like alive and well in Philadelphia or largely on the East Coast. You know, you go up to Brooklyn and it's huge over there.
Yeah. We've actually been to the Too Many Games festival that happens
awesome
every
place,
year.
Right?
Yeah, and every year they seem to have like really good shows, and a lot of those are chiptunes, and it's awesome. It's just every year they come out into woodwork in this area.
Yeah, and like better and better bands and larger groups. That whole event is interesting because I think when it first started off, I kind of looked at it like the flea market for video games outside of Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Especially when you consider it's like in Oaks, so it's like way outside of Philly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's cool. It's a cool thing. I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's very much retro and older games, but you know, speaking of like older looking titles, your title definitely looks of something from, you know, an RPG of the 90s. Would you agree?
Yes, the golden era.
Yeah, the pinnacle.
So is that what I assume you grew up playing as well?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Final Fantasy 5 and 6 and Chrono
Trigger. Definitely, all the Final Fantasies. Chrono Trigger, you got Xenogears, you got the Tales.
Yeah. I know, I want to go back to those days.
Suikoden is a classic.
Yep. Sega Saturn had a bunch of good ones too. Granted,
yeah, Japanese. I love the Sega Saturn.
I know. Well, I'm glad we're both nostalgic for it. I have one still hooked up, but I think it's like the long lost cousin of the PlayStation because, right, PlayStation just overshadowed it that entire era.
Yeah, but they have the best shoot 'em ups. It's amazing.
Yes, yes. They had Darius Gaiden.
Oh, so many. And they're so expensive. But
Tell me about it. That was actually the last game I bought when I went to Too Many Games Festival. I found Darius Gaiden for $20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I looked for years for that thing and finally saw it. So
that's crazy.
All right, so were you PlayStation kids growing up or Saturn kids or what? Neither.
I started out with the Nintendo.
Okay.
You know, so I've been playing, way back. But definitely the PlayStation era had some of the most amazing. So the Super Nintendo, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And same for you, Steve.
Yeah, except I was always like a generation behind. I always got like the hand-me-downs. So like when Super Nintendo had come out and hit the scene, like I just got an NES. And then when, PlayStation came out, like I just got a Super Nintendo. So this whole time where everyone's playing these awesome, you know, Sony games, right? And I was like so behind the ball, it was embarrassing.
Yeah, but well, it's expensive too.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, definitely Nintendo growing up and then Sony. I never really got too much into Sega Genesis, which is, I don't know if that's, you know, I know it's like a crime, but
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah, I'm a huge Sega fan.
Yeah, you and I both. Which isn't to say I didn't like my Super NES growing up, but my brother broke mine on my third grade birthday party. So, yeah. Okay, so getting back to your game over here. So, got some good jams on it, which we can obviously find on your site. And where is that located?
It's MikeWilliamsMusic.com.
I like it.
Yeah, it's I'm putting up a new website, so it'll be up in about a month or so.
Okay. And I mean, your stuff is always actually really easy to find because you use Press Kit on your game studio site, which, like we mentioned before the show, I wish everybody used because it just makes it very easy to find the important information about a studio.
Yeah, and like we sat down and did it over the summer. We're like, let's put one together. You know, we're doing events and stuff, so we put it together and so easy and it's free. If you're a developer listening to this, just do it. It's so easy.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely crazy not to try Press Kit.
Yeah, there's programs that just do it for you. It's just
I really want to try a Distribute that Rami put out. Have you heard about that?
No.
So it's you know, the same idea as Press Kit. Like they want, you know, Rami put it together and wanted to do something free, you know, but it basically works like it's a way to distribute your game to people. So like a YouTuber could like validate that they're actually a YouTuber, and then you can give them a copy of your game.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, it just came out like a couple weeks ago, and I've been kind of watching it, but it mm-hmm. looks very promising.
So, I mean, yeah, because, you know, it's an issue that a lot of developers run into, right? That they go to release a game, and the next thing you know, they get a million emails from YouTubers who are basically, or I want to say fake YouTubers, who are just kind of spamming any developer they can to say, hey, can you have a free game, free game?
Yeah. That's yeah, crazy. I've heard about that. It's crazy. Yeah.
Especially when you consider, like, the cost of the cost of developing games, you know, continues to go up as they get bigger and bigger, but people, for some reason, like, value games less and less.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what the happy medium is over here.
And it definitely depends market to market too. You know what I mean? Like I'm very glad we're not developing mobile, because mobile, it seems like, has degraded into oblivion.
Yeah, mobile's frustrating because the cost. I mean, everyone wants something to be free on mobile, right? They don't want to pay a dollar yeah. for a game that may have taken you 6 months or a year to make. So they want it free. You make it free, and then they complain there's, you know, in-app purchases and ads in the game and things like that. So, you know, what is the happy alternative? I don't right. know. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, so your game, where are you looking to release it at this point, if not mobile?
So we've been developing for generally PC for the last, you know, couple of years or so.
Okay.
We're in the process of kind of trying to find a home for it on a console too.
Okay.
Right. It's an interesting market right now. You know, next gen has come and, you know, it's here, right? And it's been around for a year. So we're kind of testing the waters. So hopefully, you know, we'll have an answer as to what platform we'll end up on, hopefully within the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working those out now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so I got to ask, what are you using to make this game then?
We're using right now Monogame.
Okay.
It was originally built in XNA, and then at some point I decided XNA is kind of dead, so I ported it over to Mono.
Rest in peace, my friend.
XNA. Yes, yes, it will be missed.
The last guest missed. We had on was also a fellow XNA developer. So what was the process like going from XNA to Mono?
Pretty painless, actually. The biggest pain was audio. It wasn't even, you know, it's nothing heated. It was just the fact that I couldn't work with, I can't think.
Exact is the audio tool that was
that's it.
For XNA, but is there a mono game equivalent or no?
There wasn't when I ported it. So I basically had to, you know, take everything that I had working out of Exact and make them into, you know, take the raw wave files and use those instead in game.
Oh man, and, like monster sizes too.
Oh yeah, so I don't
imagine how long my songs are. they're really size intensive.
Yeah, so it essentially took weeks for me to figure out, okay, is there an equivalent that's out there that's easily accessible? And the answer was no. And I honestly haven't gone back to figure that out yet, because I'm just using the raw files now. But at some point, I'll go back.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like a catch-22, right? And web developers commonly run into this issue too in making web games, because you want to use MP3, right? Because great compression algorithm. But the issue with browsers in particular is that they often don't have licensing for the codec. So they'll say, okay, you can use WAV files because it's uncompressed and there's no licensing behind it. Or you can use ogg vorbis, so .ogg, because very similar compression method and size and quality as MP3, but you know, it's open source, so nobody owns it. So it's like a catch-22. You either have huge files, which are a project because you go to distribute your game and it's massive, or you have, you know, smaller files using an open source framework and hoping that the platform actually supports it.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, what are some of the other snags you came across along the way when writing for XNA?
That was the hardest part. I think I like some of my shaders ended up throwing errors and stuff, but that was easy. Like, that was less than a day. Like, oh, is this one line changes from XNA to Mono? And that was it. Everything else was pretty straightforward, actually.
Okay, well, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, probably less than a day, I would say.
And like, I mean, they handle sprite batch for you and everything else like that?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It was awesome.
Okay. Simple enough. And now all of a sudden you're hitting two different graphics libraries, right? Because you can hit OpenGL and DirectX in one fell swoop.
Right.
So you've tested it on PC, obviously, because you're playing it for that. But have you tried bringing it over to mobile in any way?
No, have not. Probably before I do mobile, I'll try to get it working on a Mac and Linux if possible.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a bad gig at all. And did you have to use anything else like SharpDX or anything else?
Not really. Not really.
Awesome.
I'm sure as we have to port it and as you know as live you know as we decide what platform we decide to go to, all that stuff, then we'll probably start adding in more libraries and as needed.
Yeah. Well, so I've got to ask, so many people are going the way of Unity. Why did you choose not to do it for this project?
So at the time, I wanted something easy to pick up. I wanted a I wanted to get involved with a community where I could learn. I wanted to release a game with relative ease. So XNA made total sense at the time. And for a while then we started working on this game and Unity started gaining in popularity and then it became, all right, well, it was worth it to port to Unity. Maybe, but I mean it never really, it seems like a powerful tool. I just haven't.
Okay. No, very, very good question, answer because see a lot of people kind of going that direction. So some people are kind of staying back. I see very few sticking with XNA anymore, but a lot of them really are going the way of the mono game, and it works on just about every platform today too. So yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
Plus mono is fun. Like, I mean, just the XNA mono, just the code in general is just easy to work with. So if it isn't broken, don't fix it.
Exactly. So tell me a bit more about the game and what's behind it. Like, what are people going to expect when they actually do get to play it? And hell, when will they actually get to play it?
I'll let Mike answer that one.
Well,
No
we're
pressure.
shooting f we're shooting for 2016, if everything goes well.
Okay. And how long have you been working on this so far?
It's been quite a long time because we went through
Years.
members and kind of got down to three of us, and we all have day jobs, so.
Man. Yeah, it's hard to like simultaneously produce a game while working full time, right?
Definitely, but it's a really funny game, and the plot is also has a lot of weight to it, but we kind of counterbalance it with comedy, kind of a lot like Earthbound
Yeah,
in a
yeah, yeah.
sense.
Mother.
So yeah, definitely the mother, but yeah, we have some crazy enemies, and it's a really fun game.
Okay, so a battle system, is it like, which RPG could you compare it to? Is it turn-based? Is it live action? What?
So it's definitely turn-based.
Straight up with the skill system, yeah.
Yeah, so it's
So.
class-based, turn-based. Think if like Final Fantasy V, Final Fantasy VI, and like Mario RPG had like a weird RPG baby. That's probably what it would be.
Yeah, no, I definitely liked Super Mario RPG, so you got my attention.
Yeah, we definitely wanted combat that was interactive, so we definitely incorporated a lot of like action elements, right? Like, so if you hit the like the X button or the A button at the right time, you'll do more damage. Every class has like different mechanics, and there's a whole different skill set for every class you try out.
Okay.
And so we wanted to keep it refreshing, and we wanted to keep it like as out there as possible.
Yes.
It's a lot of stuff.
Okay, so you're like actively, I guess, manipulating the controller and playing like while you're battling. Because often you'll find RPGs where you just kind of sit back, hit a few buttons, and wait for the move or animation quit executing, and then you can finally get back into it.
Yeah, we wanted to do an homage to the classic RPGs, but we also want to bring it in to, have something new and something that's actually ours,
Yeah, definitely. Like keep people going and interested or engaged in what they're doing the whole time. Awesome. And about length at this point, what are you looking at? Are we looking at, something like Final Fantasy VII, where you can go for the gold chocobo fight, Ruby and Emerald, and we're looking at 110 hours? Or hope not.
So the last time I played through the game in its entirety, at least what we have finished so far, it's about 4 hours.
Okay,
and
perfect.
we have probably at least another 4 to 6 to go.
Holy
Yeah,
cow.
it should be over 10 with, full completion.
Yeah.
We want to make it substantial. We want to make this awesome. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to, you know, have an RPG that you want to finish in a couple hours. You know, we want this to be an experience.
Okay. So right now, is it like mechanics that you're adding and additional art levels, or are the mechanics down? What do you think is the biggest hang up at this point?
Content. We just need to trudge through content at this point. You know, our battle system's in, all of our menus are in, you know, like, what's in there isn't broken, you know.
So. It's mostly just, you know, the art and audio assets is really what takes time.
Yeah. No, I bet. I mean, because like you said before, you have, you know, full-time roles outside of this.
Yeah.
So it's like a fine balance, you know, putting it all together the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you. So, yeah. You know, have you started to look ahead after this? I mean, I know it's far down the road, but, you know, as you're working on these games, do you already think like, oh, I'd like to be also working on this or that, or aim for other particular platforms?
Yeah, I'm always thinking of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know I fall in that same trap too, where if I work on something a bit too long, I start to think like, oh, you know what, maybe I should start working on another game, right? Because you just kind of get burnt out along the way.
Yeah. I have a notebook. It's like the dreaded notebook of like other ideas that may or may not come to fruition.
Well, no, I'm glad you said that, because what I commonly see on like Facebook and message boards is people wanting to get into game development, right? And they'll say, I have this awesome idea for a game. All I need are people to program it for me. And I tell them, like, you know, look, everyone who's programming is doing that because they have ideas, right? There are very, very few people who are good at making games or know how to make them, and who are saying like, man, if only I had an idea for a cool game to play.
Yeah, seriously, that is definitely a big issue.
So it's kind of a funny thing to run into from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, now is the best time to make games, in my opinion. You know, there's so many tools, everything's so accessible, you know what I mean? And there's great communities everywhere you go, even on Twitter. Just go on Twitter and just, you know, hop in hashtag game dev, and there's cool people that will help you.
Exactly. Between that, forums, the cost of the tools, the wild availability, the languages you can use. You're right, it is just about better than ever to start making games at this point.
Pretty much.
I'm reading this game called The History of Japanese Game Developers right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Untold Story of Japanese Game Developers. Fantastic book, right? You read it as well?
Yeah, I've read most of it. I haven't read the whole thing yet, it's so interesting.
A lot of the first half covers, you know, music at that time too.
Yeah, it's quite amazing what they had to go through.
It's interesting to see, you know, that even when they're making music for games, sure, they were like making music on a keyboard, but then they were handwriting the notes, or, you know, the sine waves, so you'd have to actually hard code into the machine itself for music. So it's like, you're making the music, writing down, you know, what note or bleep or blop should be there, and then hard coding that into the computer or software itself. So
because it goes by like frames per second. It's pretty crazy. I was doing research on doing Nintendo, and because I wanted to get into the chip track and all that stuff.
It's very interesting. And now we're in like, you know, a good spot in that we have all these tools freely available to us to kind of make this happen. Can you tell me a bit about the roles that you guys currently have at this point? So it's three people on the team. Do you have very distinct roles or what?
Well, we all kind of have like a main role. Like I'm basically primary programming. Mike is the guy doing the music.
Yeah, mostly audio.
Yeah, Becky's doing all the art. But we all wear a couple different hats, you know, like a lot of the times, you know, we'll all step in and, you know, come up with ideas for, say, a set of skills, or we'll come up with ideas for enemies, or we'll come up with ideas for, you know, mechanics along the way. You know, we all kind of work on different stuff as we go along.
Okay. So how did this Voltron of game developers come together?
So we all met actually in college. We were all going to school for game design.
Okay, where's this at?
Camden County, actually.
Okay, so in Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all going there for game design, and you know, we went, you know, we all knew each other. We graduated, you know, and you know, years later we ended up meeting back up, and you know, none of us were working in games. So So, you know, we start getting to talking, and, you know, one thing led to another, and, you know, decide, man, let's make an RPG. And here we are.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the way it goes, though, all the time, right? you know, people always want to get into games and they seldom do. And then people who never go to school for games always, you know, often kind of wind up getting in there. But it shows you, right? Like you can just go online and find a lot of these resources and things. I mean, is that how you learned a lot of your skills, particularly for XNA or music?
For programming, yeah, I'm completely self-taught. So everything, almost everything I learned was online.
Tutorials. Okay. Yeah, no, I kind of learned the same way too. YouTube and books were my best friend.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And how about you, Mike, for music? Did you learn at school or was it?
I went to college for engineering and composing, but yeah, I've been doing that for pretty much all my life. So.
Okay. I mean, you started with what, guitar, piano?
I started with bass, then I'd switch to guitar. Well, not switch, but I also play guitar, bass, piano, drums, and all that. A whole bunch of stuff you'll hear.
Yeah. No, I've been playing guitar for a long time now, too. I feel like if you start with guitar, it's easy to make the transition to bass and vice versa, too, because they're, you know, very, very similar tools.
Yeah. There's also subtle differences that, you know.
Like once you understand music theory, it's not a radically different way to get across there.
Yeah, I mean, each instrument has their own idiosyncrasies and all that stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. So we have Wimba Studios. I'm just kind of looking through more images that you have here. When was the last time you started to update this video? Which the trailer or rave trailer is bizarre, I've got to say the least.
No, thank you. Thank you. That's a compliment.
Okay, someone rollerblading, and I see some voodoo
magic going
on.
I sewed those costumes.
I don't know.
I made those costumes.
There's a wolf drinking beers and stuff. And...
yeah.
So what is it with the rave costume or this whole rave idea behind the video?
So they're actually characters, well, enemies in our game. And so I decided to put together a video that would be really cheap and really interesting because we don't really have a high budget. So I ended up making the costumes, and we filmed it in a day, and that's what came down.
Yeah, I mean, some of these enemy types are bizarre. You have, like, an American eagle with a haircut. You have a turkey.
Balding, yeah.
Yeah. A turkey, I guess he's wearing, like, a winter coat?
It's a turkey.
It's a cold turkey.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. You have a guy who looks like he's got an afro, but evil red eyes. I mean, those glasses. A Viking of sorts, a nun.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, so where did these ideas come from?
Sadly, from our heads.
Yeah.
Brainstorming sessions. We usually get around and brainstorm enemies or certain areas, and then I'll end up doing a lot of the main plot writing. They'll help me out with the NPCs and the item descriptions, and so
a lot of alcohol, I'm sure.
How'd you know?
Yeah. It's one of the best examples I can think of kind of the way that we like democratically do stuff is so Mike originally like came up with the idea for the general plot, and so at one point we knew, okay, we need to do like a mountain pass here, right? Or mountains or something. You know, we had ideas, right? So we're like, all right, so what are we going to do for this? And then, you know, originally we go through the normal ideas like, oh, we could do like a cool spanning bridge, you know, like, oh, we could have like, you know, caves that go in and out. And, you know, we were throwing back ideas back and forth.
Yeah.
And then Becky, our artist, just, you know, kind of comes out of nowhere. She's like the silent Bob of like of like this meeting at this point.
She doesn't say much, but when she does, it's important.
Yeah. Profound, yes.
And she just goes, we should just have a lot of birds. So, and then we all like sat there and we're like, okay, let's do that. So the mountain pass became what is now known as Beaks Peaks, and it's just birds everywhere. And, you know, that's where, you know, we've got, you know, the balding eagle and the cold turkey and, you know, all these ridiculous enemies. Yeah. Came out of this idea, and it was like that, like the whole development cycle, you know, everything we do, we kind of sat down and came up with the most ridiculous ideas we could.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like amazing the things that kind of pop through your mind as you start working on these games and putting it all together, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, geez. I like it. So thanks. The last time I had somebody on the show, it was Michael Hicks, and his question was, so we do this every week, by the way. So someone from the previous show will ask a question. I want you gentlemen to answer it. And then I want to immediately follow that with a question that you will have for the developer who will be on the following show. So last week, Michael Hicks had asked, how do you stay motivated during game development? And I think it's really relevant considering your game has been in development for some time, right? Studio came around 2011. Mm-hmm. The idea, you said before, the game should be out by 2016. So that's about a 4.5-5 year cycle on one title. How do you stay motivated?
So speaking for myself, I think the best way to stay motivated is just don't work on just one thing. You know, like I'll spend some time working on like, you know, event scripting, and then I'll be like, you know what, I'm tired of this. And then I'll work on, you know, enemies or, you know, item drops or something totally different. And then I'm like, oh, then I'll work on skills. And what's good is that we have an RPG, so there's so many elements and they're so complex that like I can get, you know, totally lost in something totally different and forgot that I was working on something else, and then I'll get back into it and they'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying kind of bounce around, dabble, and try out different things along the way.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's crucial to step back from what you're doing. You become too pigeonholed, and it can end up being really bad. So,
So in terms of music, so we talk about the programming side. Is there anything on music that you do to stay motivated? I mean, are you scouring YouTube for things to keep you going and entertained, or what?
Well, we usually have a concept for each town or each, dungeon. So, like, we have this one town. It's a Asian themed town, Cherry Blossom. So I was like, okay, well, it's gonna be interesting. I'll try to, you know, take a stab at making like an Asian themed song. So it was really fun. You know, you could do something that you normally would never ever get a chance to do.
Yeah, definitely. So now you guys have answered this question. I want to know, what is your question for the developer, who I will not tell you who it is, who will be on the next show? I mean, to put you on the spot, but I'll play some Jeopardy music in the background here. What would you like to ask the next person who will be on the show? It can be about engine development, game development as a whole, maybe where they get their music from.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I don't know.
Decisions.
I know.
Some previous questions we had, let's see, to kind of get you motivated here. Someone had asked, how do you view the indie scene 5 years from now? What else was another question? Okay. When did play to win become a thing? Okay. How long before someone takes a concept, so it's many people playing a game collaboratively, focus on one thing, and make a new game based on it? So you have some stuff to work with over here.
I got one. Here's my question. So is it important to spend as much time playing games as you do make games, and why?
That is a very good question.
Because I've had that brought up a lot, you know, like I'll explain to people that are completely outside of, you know, the game industry, and they'll say, you know, oh, you're a gamer, so you play games. And I'll be like, no, not really. I make games. Like, that's what I like to do. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, but I will play games. And it's a, you know, I find it's a weird balance that you have to have.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree. And I think a lot of developers struggle with this. I know that I do. I mean, I was just playing Dragon Age Inquisition before we started doing this show, because I constantly find I feel guilty if I'm playing a game instead of working on my current project. Do you ever feel that same way?
Yeah. But sometimes you got to do research, but then other times you're like, I really need to be getting this done. So it's so hard to find a balance.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Research, like, or that's an excuse to hear from time to time.
Yeah, really good one.
But no, you're right, though. I mean, that's on one hand you're doing research, but on the other, every minute you're not playing.
But I also think it's definitely important to play games because, you know, there's like a whole, you know.
Gotta stay up to speed. What's happening?
Yeah, if you don't play games, you might, pretty much.
Like, what's going on in the industry at that point? Perfect. Okay, so we don't want to get too deep into that because I want the next guest to spend some time answering that question for themselves. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. And I'd love to have you back on as soon as your game is released so we can have a follow-up, see how things have changed over that period, and if you've actually followed through with everything you want to get done from this game. So how can people get in touch with you? I mean, do you have Twitter accounts? What's the website? You know, give us the lowdown.
Absolutely. You can always reach out to us. We're on Twitter. You can at Wimba Studios. Okay. You can also find us on Facebook. We have wimbastudios.com, where you can find our respective emails or our team email if you need to. Mm-hmm. We also stream game development from time to time on Twitch, and we also have Vine if you want to see some fancy videos.
Ah, perfect. All right, easy enough. And like I said, you have your press kit account too, which makes it much, much easier to get information about what you guys are doing. So thank you for that.
No problem.
Yeah, the journalist to me who was writing about games years ago appreciates that quite a bit.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again, and I will follow up with you as soon as your title is released.
Awesome. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Have a nice one.
All right, you too. Easy.